Zechariah chapter 4. Not going to use the lapel mic today. Is there anybody else that wants to go to nursery? Anybody? 3 or 4? Okay. Tomorrow morning, Brother Rose is supposed to be preaching. I'll have the adult nursery up in the dining hall. Amen. I'm not going to change diapers, but we'll do everything else we can to help you. Well, David Vernon, I'm glad you're here. He's a very close acquaintance of ours from North Carolina. Brother, don't worry about where you are, who's around. Why don't you pray? Ask God to just turn us loose.
Amen.
Get us loose of the baggage of the camp. And that's not an insult, but just all the things people worried about games and Tootsie Rolls, and they lost their soda pop. And, you know, just get rid of all the cares around us, the temporal things around us, and just focus on Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to be in the house of God this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. One of the most gracious things on this entire planet, dear God, we're holding in our hands today, God. I want to thank you, dear Lord, for what you've already done in this place. I thank God for what I heard this week already. I want to thank you, dear Lord, for the thought of patterns, dear God. I pray, blessed Father, that you'd help us, God, to follow good patterns, and Lord, to be a good pattern.
Yes.
I pray, blessed God, that you'd help us to be sensitive and obedient to that still small voice. I pray today, dear God, that you'd unctionize the preaching, dear God. I pray that you'd
have
the command of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd bind every evil spirit, God, and every stronghold, blessed God, would be broken. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd touch the hearts and the lives of people. Dear God, I know this is a fun week, but I do ask, blessed God, that you'd help us get beyond the fun, and God, get beyond the shallow. And God, I pray that we'd get in a place with God, Lord, where you can touch our hearts and, God, change our lives. And we do ask you, blessed God, that we would be separated unto God, that our lives would be holy. God, that we would reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today, dear God, for the power of God upon each and every one of us, Lord. God, help us to be ever so keenly conscious of the voice of God, of the presence of God.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that you'd help us today, dear God, that we'd not do anything that might grieve the Spirit of God or might quench the Spirit of God. And the Lord, that we'd be obedient. God, we'd be willing servants today. Lord, we're willing, dear God, to give our lives and to give our all and to give our best. God, as God gave us His all and gave us His best. And I pray today, dear God, Lord, that we would give our best unto the Lord. God, I can remember times where I gave my absolute best to this world and this flesh and to the wicked devil. And I pray, blessed God, that you'd help us, God, to give our best to the lovely Lord Jesus. And God, I pray that we would just hold nothing back. God, give you our all. And I pray today, dear God, that we would be open, Lord, to the Word of God. We'd be receptive. And God, that we would not just be hearers of the Word, but God, that we would be doers of the Word of God. I ask you, Lord God, that you'd get a hold, God, of some of these young people, oh God. Oh Lord, that they would give their life to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
God, not have to live with scars and regrets, but God, they can look back and God say, it's been well worth it, Lord. I pray, God, that you could raise some up to be great men of God and great women of God. Or maybe some preacher, some missionary, some great layman in the house of God. Lord, servants of the Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use us for your honor and glory. Lord, if it's not for the glory of God, it's all for naught. I pray today, oh God, that you'd help us. Lord, that we would sell out to God and live wholeheartedly unto you. Help us to realize, oh God, that nothing in this world's worth living for outside the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all a waste. It's all vanity. It's all vexation of spirit outside the lovely Lord. I pray, God, that you'd help us. Oh, God, sober us up now. Pray, God, that conscience sober us up and help us realize, God, there's an evil world out there. And God, there's snares laid before us. And God, there's traps, God, laid before us. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be vigilant and to be sober. And God, that we'd have a mind like Jesus Christ and to think on things which are holy and things that are pure and things that are virtuous. Help us, oh God, today, God, to be ever so mindful of the things in the presence of a holy God. Lord, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There's a process in salvation.
Amen.
People say that's works. No, because it's not your process. It's God's.
Amen.
The first thing God has to do is circumcise your ear that you can hear.
Right there.
And I'd be a fool to think there are people sitting here that are listening. They get that far away look, indifference, casualness, carelessness. Some because it's their youth. Some because they deliberately and willfully turned off the things of God. So God has to circumcise the ear that we can hear. Faith cometh by what? Somebody help me out.
Hearing.
You can't have faith until you hear. Now listen, that's God's operation, not the preacher's. God cuts away the circumcision, the deadness of the flesh, of the dead ear that will not hear. God, who's the author of salvation through his son Jesus Christ, he performs the miracle of the new birth. It's his job. We have a generation today that has saved themselves through the motions and through repetition and through patterning themselves what they've been told is a pattern of salvation that's man-made and not wrought of God. And the miracle of the new birth is exactly that. It's a miracle. I know preachers who were saved by repeating a sinner's prayer. I know some. For thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, but how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? The prayer, oftentimes, for a person's under conviction, under the condemnation of God, the prayer just becomes repetition because by the time they get to that point, they've already believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we got it backwards today. We pray the prayer and then demand that God save us. And God's never worked that way. God doesn't perform a miracle because of you. He performs a miracle because of his son.
Amen.
I get called a Calvinist all the time for saying you don't get saved because you want to get saved. And I watch people knee-jerk react, roll their eyes and everything else. But you don't get saved because you want to get saved.
Right.
You wouldn't have an interest in anything if it wasn't for God.
Amen.
Amen. That's true.
That's not Calvinist. I've heard people say, I really want to get saved. If you even desire to be saved, it's because God sent his only begotten son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For the grace of God that hath appeared to all men, to whosoever will, gospel. He's teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Right.
Salvation is a miracle of God. And in 25 years, listen, I've learned the ins and outs of salvation. I can preach the dogma. I can preach repentance. I can preach belief. And you can challenge me on this if you want to. I can put it in its rightful order. I can tell you how God works through a repentant heart to give faith to believe through his son, Jesus Christ. That is the operation of God, how we're justified by the faith of Christ in Galatians 2:17. I can tell you how we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can show you the faith of Jesus Christ. I can take you to the Old Testament to show you the faith of Jesus Christ. That saving faith, that marvelous faith. I can show you the work of God. But you know what I cannot do? I can't show you the miracle. Because you have to experience the miracle.
Amen.
I can put it in simple terms. Brother Rose, I could preach 3 hours on the doctrine of salvation. And I mean nail it down accurately, correctly, and right. But you know what? Eventually I get done preaching, I'm going, well, if God doesn't step in, we're all damned.
Yeah, exactly.
If God doesn't step in, we're all lost. Except Christ be in us, we're all what? Reprobate.
Yeah.
Cast away of Jesus Christ. Except for Jesus Christ. So listen, I can explain all the details and all the nuances and all of those. And I've listened to people over the years try to explain. But you know what ultimately comes down to? There was a miracle that took place.
Amen.
Can I, without being crude, tell you how the birth of my new son took place? Without crudeness. And I'm just going to use good bibliological terms. My wife and I came together, and listen, we came together because we're married.
Right.
And the marriage bed is undefiled before God. Amen. Now, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. But the marriage bed is undefiled before God. Do you realize if I go into my wife and some things happen, I don't have to separate myself for a time of purification. Every month, my wife doesn't have to separate herself for a time of purification. We can cozy up and smooch, and well, we used to anyway, and we can still love each other. Amen. And that marriage bed is undefiled. So we came together. Now, some of you didn't know this, but we found out a couple of weeks later. It was just about a week and a half after camp last year. I come down, there's one of those little two blue strip things laying on my chair again. And I went, oh, not again. Amen. I'm getting old. My wife was in the early stages. What happened? Well, according to science, one of those little floaters jumped up in there and went into her womanly egg, that they call it, and planted a seed. It's the seed of Tim McVeigh. And God made it so. And that seed began to divide, and that seed began to form cells. And by the way, that first division is called life. And you can just say amen on that. Amen and amen. And then all of a sudden, we had to go in for one of them ultrasounds. And then they want to know, do you want genetic testing? And I'm throttling myself because I want to go, do you want a throat punch? Amen. You know, basically, do you want to be like 93% of people and go ahead and kill your Down syndrome baby? That's what they're really asking you.
Sure.
Amen, ladies. I said, do you want genetic tests? And I said, no, we're pretty messed up. We'll be okay. They got that little ultrasound, and all of a sudden we saw little fingers, and we saw little toes, and we saw eyeballs in a face. And we took that ultrasound home, and our children looked, and they saw those eyeballs, and they saw that little face. And we said, that's going to be a little baby. Now listen, it didn't take us long, and I don't have to explain this to you, and I'm not going to be crude about it. We knew we were having a boy. We saw the size of his head and said, goodness, that's going to be Bubby's brother. Amen and amen. A big old melon in there. They measured it and said, good night, that's huge. Then they said, do you want genetic testing? That's a pretty big head. I said, no, we'll be okay. And then time came on. My wife got through her time of sickness and then frantically cleaned the house and sat on the couch for 4 hours and then frantically cleaned and sat on the house for 4 hours. Listen, we put the crib back up, went up in the attic and got down boosters and swings and all those things we put away, and she got totes out and started unfolding little onesies and little cute little outfits. You know how that is, ladies. I mean, it's all about how cute they are. It has nothing to do with dressing them. It's just, they just want the cute factor, and got a little hats and bow ties and all that junk out, and all of a sudden, you know, my wife, she says, you know, well, we got to go in there Friday morning. And we went down in there Friday morning, and my wife got up in the bed and they put monitors on her. And not too much longer later, and listen, I was down at the receiving end of this awfulness. My wife's up there chilling, drinking ice water, relaxed, comfortable, loving life. And I'm down there going, ha! And that little head popped through. That cord was wrapped around his neck twice. Are you listening? A nurse just went, ripped that cord off his neck, smacked him, he went, Now, does that satisfy anybody here to qualify that I understand how all that took place? I'm not satisfied. I have no clue how it all happened. Are you listening? Because it was a miracle of God. I said it was a miracle of God. Any time in that process, that baby in her womb could have died. Any time in that process, that baby could have had malformities. Or any time in that process, that umbilical cord could have choked the life out of that baby. In the birth, that baby could have died. In that time, that baby could have given his life. Mama could have died. It's a miracle.
Amen.
Of God.
Yes.
And if you're saved today, you go ahead and explain it. But you know what it boils down to? God stepped in.
Amen.
Hey, God stepped in. I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did. And when I finally got to the end of myself, there was Jesus Christ. Amen. I was heading up I-81, heading northbound. Got to about New Market, Virginia, but under conviction. God had been pricking my heart, dealing with me. Now, I'm going to say this not as a doctrinal statement, because again, it's a miracle of God. But I was repenting for several months. What does that mean? I was changing my mind about things. And when you change your mind, actions do follow.
Amen.
Let me just clarify that. If I repented about being here today, guess what? I wouldn't be here. And if you repent over sin, guess what? You're not going to live in sin. And if you repent over that matter of you and Jesus Christ, guess what? That issue is going to be resolved in your mind for all of eternity. You know why? Because true repentance will reconcile you to God.
Right.
Never to be separated again.
Yes, right.
And that's a miracle of God. And I don't know what transpired between Harrisonburg and Winchester, Virginia. But all I know is when I got to Winchester, Virginia, I was singing the songs of Zion, filled with joy. The tears were flowing. I was rejoicing in Jesus Christ. And I don't know what happened in that 1 hour stretch of highway, but I know this, the Holy Ghost of God came and entered into my life and filled me and changed me and made me a new creature in Jesus Christ. It was a miracle of God. You know what most people have today? Well, I went down to my counselor, teacher, preacher. They prayed the prayer with me, and I prayed and asked Jesus to save me. But when did the miracle take place?
Right.
What's the part you can't explain?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Which is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Well, I did this, and I did this, and I obligated God to save me. I look at Brother Billy Mitchell, the Calvinist. He always comes. He's a Calvinist. I go, okay, yeah, sure. You know, Brother Billy Mitchell used to say all the time, he'd say, if God had to step off his throne to save you, you're going to bust hell wide open. God has never stooped to man's level. You're not saved by your own will. It's not that you're not saved, listen, through the blood, through the will of the flesh, for the will of man, but of God.
Yes, sir.
And God is not willing that any should perish.
Right.
But that all, now there's a little word here, should come to repentance. But you don't know, preacher, I really meant it when I prayed. I meant it many times. Room spinning, about sick out of my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, oh God, save me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I meant it. But never come to repentance. Never come to the end of Tim McVeigh. Never saw what I really... You know what a vacuum cleaner salesman does? We don't have those anymore, but I had one many years ago. I've been on one of those ads. Get a room of carpet cleaned for $50. And by the way, he didn't even get my carpet cleaned. As wicked as I was, as sinful as my... He couldn't even clean my carpet. He tried. It was blacker when he got done. Took some of the stink out of it, but that was about it. You know what he does? He convinces you that his vacuum is better than yours. So what does he do? He sucks up some things. He picks up a bowling ball. He throws dirt in your carpet and sucks it out and shows you how much better his vacuum is. And ladies go, oh, I've got to have, I'm trying to think of the name. There's $1,000 vacuums they sold in the 70s and 80s. And
Kirby,
thank you very much. You go to auction, I get a Kirby today for $5. Amen. Just throwing that out there for some of you. I mean, they were a game changer. How many of you sold them? Be honest, don't lie. And some of you did. Don't lie about that. Amen. And that, you know, he's going to convince you, hey, this is the vacuum of all vacuums. It's going to, most women today couldn't even push a Kirby. Amen. Unless you've milked cows, you don't have hand strength to hold on to one of those beasts. But he convinces you what he has is better than what you have. So what does the average preacher do today? He tries to convince people he can offer them something better than what they have. So what do people do? They buy into it. Just do this, and God's obligated to save you.
Oh boy.
Let me ask you a question. Let's get doctrinal. You call upon the name of the Lord. Is God obligated to save you because you call upon his name? How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed?
That's right.
That's down East Franklin Street many years ago, the black fellow from the church I was with, and come upon this lady on the street. And I just told her, I said, Charles, you talk to her. She'll probably relate to you a little bit better. She's a black female. And we began to talk, and she began to lament her life and talk about how life's gone down the tubes. And so Charles presents Jesus Christ to her. And she said, I want to get saved. He looks at me, and I went, and she goes, would you help me pray? I'm like, help her pray? I mean, you know, help her for whatever she needs. Let's go ahead and help her. You know, and he's like, dear Lord. She's like, dear Lord. And I said, oh, my goodness gracious, gracious. He's looking at me every sentence. I'm just kind of like, get it over with. You know how bad I am? Yeah, I'm bad. And I'm like, religion. You know what she said when she got done praying? I always feel so good when I pray that prayer.
Yeah.
How many of you felt good when you prayed the prayer? Be honest about it. Oh, it felt so good. When you prayed the, oh, it felt, be honest, oh, it felt so good. How long did it last? How long was it scolding? Amen. How many days? 3 days. I had a young lady recently let us know that she didn't have assurance of faith. And I said, well, you testified you got saved. I think it was 11 years old. I said, when did you know that it wasn't real? She said, oh, pretty much about the first minute I got off the altar. Now, again, somebody goes, oh, McVeigh's just trying to retread people. No, I'm just trying to get people born of God. You know why? Because the hireling has gone around and lied to people on this day. He's promised them life, according to Ezekiel 13:22. He's promised them life through his methods and his mannerisms and his way, a little bit better than what they have. Yet he said he's lied. Because life is in Jesus Christ.
Sure.
In Jesus Christ alone. You know the Buddhists promised people eternal life? It's nirvana. It's a place of bliss. It's a wonderful place where balmy breezes and perfect temperatures and no humidity. And they offer it. As long as you are Zen and you know, you're nice to people and, you know, God will let you come back as a, I don't know, what do you want to come back as? A scorpion? I mean, and I want to come back as a kangaroo. I mean, and you live in this perfect, they offer, you know what, people buy that.
Yeah.
Muslims offer their followers eternal life. They say, hey, just do this and do this and follow the Quran and obey the teachings of Muhammad and you'll have men, only men, will have 69 virgins feeding them grapes and figs, laying on a cot, again, in a perfect state of a perfect oasis. They promise them life. Roman Catholics promise people life. If your family comes and pays the extra money, gets you out of purgatory, you'll live forever with Mary. What do the Baptists promise people? Life. Life. He said, you've made the heart of the righteous sad, who I have not made sad, but have strengthened the hand of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked ways by what? Promising him life.
You got to wrap up right there.
He will not return from his wicked ways. Why? Because he's prayed the prayer. He won't return from his wicked ways. Why? Because some preacher got up and told him he was saved. He won't return from his wicked ways. Yet without repentance, he's prayed a prayer, he's called on the name of the Lord, and he's never believed in the Son of God. And that's just in church.
Right.
Can I give you a couple testimonies? Dear friend of ours, I've been a friend of ours, we're staying here in a couple of weeks. Sunday night, I preach a cute little message. I go to Brother Rose. He gets it off Joel Osteen. I preach it, same thing. I told Brother Vernon, I saw that message you preached on Joel Osteen's website. Brother Vernon said, I thought that sounded like Joel Osteen yesterday. Amen. That's a little preacher banter. We joke about those things, okay? Some of you wondering about that. We pick on each other because we're just carnal, okay? She said, my Sunday school teacher made me pray at 10 years old. Are you listening? She said, I've never had peace. I've been miserable my whole life. And she's about a month ago when another friend of hers got saved. And she said, I was actually angry with God. And for the first time in my life, at 26 years old, I think it was, she actually said she looked at her ceiling and said, God, why won't you save me? And she said, before she realized what she said, she put her hand upon her mouth. Mm-hmm. That Sunday night, God saved her.
Yeah.
And I do mean a different person.
Right.
She was so bad. My wife, for the first time we went there, we left there going, boy, she's a bitter lady. Some of you met her a couple of weeks ago. There wasn't a one of you that thought there was any bitterness in her. Boy, just sweetness. People go, she's so sweet. She's so precious. She's so kind.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Sharon. You just go ahead and say amen. Help me out a little bit back there. Amen. Amen. Somebody told me of her, said, boy, her whole countenance has changed.
Yeah.
Now her countenance has changed. All that bitterness is gone. Amen. I'm not trying to embarrass her. Miss Sharon just got in a couple weeks ago.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all just go ahead and rejoice with it. You shout when children get saved. You can't shout when a lady that's over 20 years old gets saved. Amen.
Good.
Been religious her whole life. Didn't want to disappoint a Sunday school teacher when she was a girl, so she went ahead and prayed. Wrestling with God all those years. Come down on Saturday morning, down the kitchen. She looked at me and said, God saved me last night.
Amen.
Hey! Charity's husband pulls me aside that same morning, comes outside.
Yep.
Says, can I talk to you? I said, he grinned like a Cheshire cat.
Yep.
Condemnation's gone.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Professions, words, prayers.
Amen.
Never believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. See, he that hath the Son hath life.
Right.
And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Amen.
Do you realize his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God? Did you know he gives you a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father?
Amen. Right. Yes.
Amen. Little Davey back there. Can I embarrass you? Good. She says, you didn't say anything. That means, yes, okay. She's adopted. But she's looking for a second adoption. Y'all just pray for her.
Amen.
Her mama messed up her life. Dad is a mess. I'm in a wicked man. She loves him. But God showed her and her siblings mercy. When I first met that little girl, she was bitter, angry, caring for two little children under her because she was a mom to them at, 5 years old, 6 years old. God put him in the house of God.
Amen.
She was adopted. Mama had a new baby. A couple weeks ago, her mama got up on a Sunday morning service, and in her words, which are her words, those of you that know her, somehow in the midst of all of that, we figured out that God had saved her mama. God had saved her daddy. Well, the Rose, her daddy laid on the altar that night, weeping, sobbing. Brother Rose, Brother Vernon, I all talked about it. Said they didn't understand why her daddy didn't get in. Didn't understand all that. And I don't think he'd mind me saying it now.
No.
Nobody knew he had a secret life.
That's right.
We thought he was under conviction for salvation. And by the way, there's many of you done the exact same thing.
Yep.
He's up on the altar, purging that old life. We hours, Brother Rose, we were up there for hours and hours. The ladies over the trailer praying for hours and hours.
Right.
He wasn't getting saved. He was getting rid of the puking up of double life.
Right.
This summer, God saved him.
Right.
Gave that little girl new parents.
Right.
She's looking to be adopted herself into Jesus Christ. There's some of you here ought to be seeking that adoption, but you're not looking for it because you don't think you need it. And there's no peace, and there's no rest, and there's no joy, and there's no comfort. There's condemnation every service. There's no comfort of the Holy Ghost. And can I tell you, the Holy Ghost is joy and peace and comfort. And He'll comfort you like a mother comforts a child. And He'll give you rest in the bosom of Jesus Christ like you've never had rest. In your darkest day, in your darkest hour, He can bring comfort to you. You know why? Because He comforts His children with that spirit of adoption. I've gone through some pretty dark hours in my life, and I've been able to curl up in the bosom of Jesus Christ and feel those hands come upon me and give me comfort and give me rest. You know why? Because I'm His. In order to have that, and get rid of this junk, get rid of religion. Get rid of the agony of life and to come to Jesus Christ and have that rest.
Yes.
Some of you have had horrible lives. There's children here that have lives that you and I would pale at if we understood truly what's going on in their life. But you know what Jesus Christ did? He took that in His body and bore it for you.
Amen.
He made Himself of no reputation. Took the form of a servant. You know what God wants to do this morning? As much as I'm standing here, God wants to break through the barrier of your hardness and let you see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By the way, Mike didn't get saved that night because he had a double lie. But can I tell you the rest of the story? About 8 o'clock the next morning, we got a text. I was driving home from North Carolina. We got a text. It said, God just saved me.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Stephanie. Amen. Just go ahead and say amen. But don't get all offended and hurt by is that preacher's wife sitting right there.
That's right. Amen.
I thought for sure God sent me to North Carolina because Michael was going to get in. Now, I'm not going to toot my horn. I'm just going to tell you what Miss Stephanie said. She said sometime in that night, I don't know what time, it got real late. She said, I turned around the congregation. The only thing I said all night, Brother Rose preached. I was just there holding on to coattails. The only thing I said, somebody can let your pride take you to hell. Miss Stephanie testified later on that God smote her heart and said, that's you. You let your pride take you to hell. You don't want to acknowledge you have a need. Never had peace, never had joy, never had comfort, never had rest. But we have a profession.
That's right.
But we don't have a possession. We're not heirs and joint heirs. We just have some words we speak. And so what do? We take that little model we've made. We begin to accoutrement with every bit of preaching we hear. Oh, we dress right. We listen right. And we talk right. And we don't drink. And we don't smoke dope. And we don't do this. And the don'ts and the don'ts and the don'ts and the don'ts and the don'ts. But can I ask you, all you don't doers, what's something you did do? What's something you did do? What's something you did out of the ordinary for you by faith because it was a work of God in you? When's the last time you opened this book and the Word of God spake to you? And you realized that this book is alive and this book is holy.
Amen.
And God began to speak to your heart and minister to your heart. And God opened up the Word of God and revealed Himself to you. I told somebody this morning, I'll turn there and turn the text. You say, you asked to turn to a text. Well, we just needed something to look at. Amen. I read this verse. It's pretty simple. It's a Psalm of Asaph. And I read this verse in a church service. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Jesus Christ said, I am the true vine. What did he call his son out of? He called his son out of Egypt.
Right.
Now some of you have no clue what I'm talking about. That little girl's daddy was sitting in the church service. He told me later on, he said, you read that passage. You talked about Jesus Christ coming out of Egypt and God planted the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. And he said, for the first time in my life in 38 years, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Amen.
No flashing lights, no sobbing at the altar, no more blowing his nose, no more laying wallowing. No, he's just sitting in the church pew. The Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
He said, the first time in my life I saw Jesus Christ in the Word of God, and I believe that he's the Son of God.
Yeah.
Sitting on a Saturday morning, there's a lot of exhorting, a lot of exhortation. There's quiet, there's a lull, there's a quietness. A young man stood up, tears run down his face. He said, I believe.
That's right.
He said, I believe. He's looking like this. I see it.
That's right.
I see it. I believe.
Woo!
You can keep your profession. You can keep your profession. But it better have that behind it. I said it better have that behind it.
Amen.
I was the first time sitting in a revival service. The man of God got up to preach. And he was an old Southern preacher, wrecked his life in sin since. But I didn't know anything. I didn't know hide nor hair. I knew I was saved. That's about all I knew. And he preached on the doctrine of being born again. And I sat there in that church pew going, that's what it was. That's what it was. That's what it was. That's what took place. Oh, that's what happened. That's what took place. Yep, that's what happened. Oh, that's what happened. Yep. Oh, I remember that. Yep. I went home that night and I said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hey, I believe in Jesus Christ for 25 years. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's by faith. It's not works of righteousness which I have done. It's a work of God. It's a miracle in the inward parts of God. In my heart, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
That's right.
And no man can say that but by the Holy Ghost. And I've watched them try to drum that up. Say it. Say you believe Jesus is the Son of God. I'm like, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's just a work of the flesh. You can say it with your lips, but can you say it with your heart? Can you go down the depths of inside of you and let God open up the inside of you in that secret place where God speaks and God ministers? Can you go down inside of you and from the depths of your soul, as Jonah cried from the depths of his soul, can you cry out of your heart as I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Or is it just words? Young ladies, is it just words? Or is it in you? To the service down in Tennessee, not far from where Brother Rose lives, and I was embarrassed being there, so I didn't call him when I was down there. It was years ago. True story. A man got up in the service, preaching, well-known preacher. He said, "You can almost tell another brother when you shake hands and you just feel that Holy Ghost energy." Oh boy. And I was sitting next to Rick Taramy, the termite, and I reached over and went, he goes. So a little bit later, he reached over and he pokes me, and I went, All week, he and I, he'd be in the line at the dining hall. I'd go put my arm around big old Rick. I'd say, "Do you feel it?" He'd go, "No." That's all some people got. They got a little chill bump. I got a dear pastor friend of mine. He talks about them chill bumps. You ever get chill bumps? I got a pastor friend of mine. He's sitting over there. I'm not going to say his name. He told his congregation one time, he said, "I get chill bumps listening to Merle Haggard." Amen. He said, "I get chill bumps listening to Dolly Parton. I get chill bumps watching a good baseball game. You hit a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth of the world. I'm going to get chill bumps."
Right.
He said, "Oh, boy, I just had chill bumps running up and down my spine." Why don't you get God on the inward parts?
Get my hand.
And you won't need chill bumps.
Right.
I said, "You won't need them."
That's right.
Hey, I like them. Amen. There's times I see my wife, I get chill bumps. You just say it's my wife, I can get if I want to. You don't have to like her. Amen. I don't want you to like her. I don't know if she does or not. She probably gets other bumps. Get away from me, bumps. But it's not an experience, it's in a person. And you better have that person.
Yes.
You better have him. I tell you a couple more stories. Would that be all right? Just a couple more. Can I tell you one more story? It's true. I got witnesses. I got a dear friend of mine was sitting at home one day on his computer. And the guy was, he was crazy. He was absolutely nuts. He sent an email to a pastor. Man responded to it. Man said, "I'll pick you up Sunday for church." It was a year and a half. Hour and a half each way. Go pick him up, hour and a half back. Take him home, hour and a half, 6 hours a weekend. Take him to the house of God. What that man told me? He said, "I met this goofy guy in Warren, Pennsylvania." And I mean, just he was everything about it just was crazy. And, you know, I just thought, man, this guy's just another whack. And he said, "But then his 16-year-old daughter came in, a brother. She was unusual. She was precious." Hour and a half. I listened, hour and a half, 6 hours a weekend. He got mad on a Friday night, big congregation, big crowd outside the girls' dormitory. He gets in a fight with his own son, punches his own son in the eyeball. And nobody followed him for it. The next day, people were shaking his hand, congratulating him. He's driving us all nuts. True story. We go up to the home where my wife and I stay, and had all the young people come up, and he'd come up, and we're trying to have a good time, and he's over there weeping and blowing his nose and crying, and oh, can't believe he hit his son, and began to puke out his life and all these young people. You listening? Began to puke out his life. About then, his daughter son-in-law walk in. Son-in-law never raised in church, never raised around the things of God. His daughter rejected all that, ran from God, raising that little boy back there. But see, here's what folks didn't know. That little boy back there, when he started coming to church with his grandpa, he'd start raising his hand and said, "I want you to pray God will save my mommy and daddy."
Amen.
He said, "Church, I want you to pray God will save my mommy and daddy."
That's right.
His son and son-in-law daughter walk in. Timothy and I jumped up and said, "Hey, you all sit here." I looked at her and said, "Your dad wants to tell you something." They walked in, sat next to him. He begins all over again. Just a puke and a sob and a snot and a wheezing, dry heaving on everybody. I got an email from him in the middle of the night one night. Blah, 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 blah. "And now that I have found Christ," I went, "Oh, that's unusual." "Blah, blah, 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 blah. And now that I'm saved," blah. I called him the next day. He said, "Brother, I got it. I got it. God has saved me."
Amen.
Within a month, God saved his daughter Chelsea sitting over here. Put him in the house of God as a family.
Amen.
About a month ago, his son Nick, addicted to drugs, attempted suicide, destroyed his life, destroyed his body with sin. Just a shell of a human being last time I saw him. But about a month ago, Nick said God saved him. Was baptized. I want you little do-gooder church girls to look at this preacher. It's a work of God.
Amen.
The reason God won't do anything for you is some of you got your noses so far up near you think your poop don't stink.
Oh, that's right, preacher.
See, that's crude. No, your life is crude. You wouldn't give a drop of water to a starving peasant because you're too good for that. Never touched liquor, never smoked, never fornicated, but you won't do a thing to help somebody in distress. You look at that little girl down at the convenience store, got that bone stuck in her nose, their dyed blue hair, eyelids pierced, you think she's a piece of trash. And she's probably no better off than a lot of you are. The problem is that she probably knows what her problem is, you don't.
Yeah.
Right. Amen.
Come on, help me.
God's in the business of saving sinners.
Amen.
Listen, I just felt a little twinge of God. Now I want to go back and recap a little bit here real quick. I said, God saved Ronnie Skolton. God saved his daughter Chelsea. God saved his son Nick. And I'm not ashamed to say this. They're not ashamed. There's some that do not have that assurance of faith. You know what the little do-gooder does? Well, why don't they just get saved?
Right.
No, you mean, why don't they just repeat the prayer like you would like to do?
That's right. Yep. Right. Yep.
It's a miracle of God. Salvation's a work of God. And why don't you pray that God would perform the miracle with a new birth in their life? Why don't you pray that God in the inward parts would satisfy their soul? He would be their living bread. He would be their living water. He would satisfy them completely. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, for they shall be filled.
Right.
We've overcomplicated things. It's a miracle of God. I can tell you how I came to Christ. It's pretty basic. I was riding down the road. God saved me. What more do you want?
That's good, though.
I mean, I had to have my shoes. Brother, I got saved in flip-flops by the rose. I don't know. I had to chew it. I tell people that. It bothers people. I went to Jerry Falwell's church that morning. I never spit my chew out as far as I know. Now, listen, I did finally quit chewing after a while. Do you listen? Hey, I never spit my chew out. You know why? God saves sinners. Tobacco wasn't sending me to hell. I was sending me to hell. Tobacco wasn't my worst enemy. I was my worst enemy. And I can't explain what all God did in the car that day, but the fruit of it has been my life changed in Jesus Christ. The experience of the new birth has transformed itself into a life of Christ, a life with Christ, a life in Christ. I've been gloriously changed, gloriously transformed. I've been made a new creature in Jesus Christ. And that's a work of God. Because it's the will of God to save sinners.
Yes, sir.
I said, it's the will of God to save sinners. Goofball over there looks at me one time. He goes, "Why won't God save me?" And I said, "Don't you blame God." Remember that? Probably more than once. I said, "Don't blame God." He said, "I feel like God won't save me." I said, "Well, you're dead wrong. You just won't repent." Amen. Some of you would have been satisfied if you got him to repeat the prayer. Amen. I'll tell you, when I was satisfied, when he finally looked me in the eyeball and said, "Brother McVeigh, I found peace with God." I said, "Okay, I'm satisfied." Amen. I said, "I found peace with, I'm satisfied." You know when I was satisfied? When I found peace with God. I was satisfied. Listen, I've heard people get up and preach confusion about salvation, and I've gone home and had to wrestle. Listen, I've had God, Ezekiel 13, verse 9, 10, 11, 12, down through there. I've had God tear away the whitewash from the rose, that untempered mortar. Heard him preach that many, many years ago. Stuck with me for about probably 15 years. God just took away all that whitewash. Those stones fell down. They washed away. And I mean, I was in the storm, buddy. And every stone in my life fell down. Everything I had built had crumbled. And I got down to the bottom, and guess what I found? A rock! And I was standing on the middle of a rock. It didn't matter what the storms did. Everything I had built had crumbled. But my feet were on a rock, which is Jesus Christ. And he said to examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith.
Amen.
Right.
My wall's not real tall right now. I learned this, the higher the wall, the darker it gets in the bottom. I like to keep the wall pretty short. Amen. But you can rest assured of this. When the storm comes, if I lose everything I got, my feet are firmly planted on a rock. Don't press the Lord to throw out the lifeline this morning. It'll be about 3 minutes. It don't take you 3 minutes. It doesn't take God 3 minutes. He's a miracle worker.
Amen.
If that's you, you better just respond to God.
Amen.
I mean, if you need a hymn, if you need tears, if you need some Kleenexes, I mean, whatever accommodates you, won't you just get to God?
Amen.
If you're dissatisfied with what you've got, trash it. Start over with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Father, I want to thank you for the liberty this congregation has given us. I want to thank you for the power of God, the manifestation of the work of God, manifest in the lives of people. And I want to thank that work of God at Calvary through your Son, Jesus Christ. The miracle that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. And not only he does, but he's willing to save sinners. Have your way in these few moments. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Many times in our church we've made this statement.